Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts. This is RS1, part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to day two of our live global coverage for the 2024 IDSE Ravenel 24-hour of the Nürburgring qualifying weekend. It's another beautiful day in the Eiffel, a tad cooler than yesterday. We're starting a little earlier, racing this afternoon. But first, we're going to have a go at the top 30, top qualifying, because that's what, of course, we will see when we get around to the race itself in a few weeks' time. My name's John Hindorf, and joining me in the Global Broadcast Centre is Peter Snowden. We'll go through the events of yesterday in a moment, but first of all, good morning, Peter. How are you?
Morning, John. Well rested and ready for... It was so good yesterday. Come back for another day today.
And another 4 hours of racing to come. There was plenty of action yesterday in a race that was full of excitement, reminding you that this is not just the qualifying weekend. It is round 3 and 4. Yesterday was 3, today is 4 of the Nürburgring Langstrecke series, run by the VLN and a variety of ADAC-affiliated motor clubs. We have a couple of teams who have won all three outings, and they are headed, therefore they are heading the race, at the 491 Hyundai, I30N. David Mertens talking to our team in the pit lane earlier on. They have won all three, and I think it's the 6-5-1 as well from memory. They are ahead of the game as far as the championship is concerned, reminding you that the NLS championship can be won from a car of any class, although there is a certain amount of weighting depending on how many cars are in the particular class. And that does, there's a small multiplier, which is why sometimes you get fractions of points. We have had a qualifying session this morning to identify the top 30. We did have a wee bit of an accident this morning, which tends to just slow things down a little bit. So the ultimate lap times didn't come in and come down to where we wanted because of yellow flags, etc. So we haven't seen anybody threatening qualifying or race lap record pace. It wasn't a good morning for the Toyo tyres with Ring Racing Toyota. Takayuki Kinoshita, Michael Tischner and Heiko Tongas with that car going off on the Nordschleifer. And there was a couple of people who had laps disallowed as well. Cars are going out for this top 30. They will come around through the cutout behind the V-Doll chicane and park up on the front straight. They'll then be released. It's not... we call it sort of single car shootout. There are several cars on the Nordschleifer at the same time, of course, but they are split up like a time trial. And therefore, you get the opportunity to have a quote-unquote clear lap. It was a long night for the Rover BMW team. They had quite a bit of work to do on both of the cars. The 98 car, remember, involved in an accident with a Bonk BMW when that spun in front of it. And also work on the 99 as well. So their team manager saying to us earlier on that they had a particular late night. Daniel Kailovitz and Felipe Fernandez Leza have arrived. They're a little bit late getting here this morning. And to the track this morning. They've been down in Barcelona and they overslept a bit this morning, so they did a few laps. And it was actually a BMW that was top of the pile in qualifying this morning. Yesterday, early problems for one of the AMGs, came in with a left front brake issue. Thought the stone might have come up and damaged one of the brake pipes. It was pretty racy from the off, with the two Shearer Sport Audis right at the front of the grid, and they're trying to control things through the early part of the first lap. Remember, we're using the full Grand Prix circuit with the Haag hook, so it's 1.1 kilometres longer than the VLN. The Bilstein number 4 car had to start right at the back of the lead group, so that was exciting for them as they pulled up through, finished 16th from memory. What a day for tyre issues as well for a number of the lower category cars. At least two or three of the Hyundais, I seem to remember, with problems. Also a couple of the BMWs. The favourites, the cream rose to the top. Never count out the Grelo Manti 911. And the two Falkland cars were playing a slightly different statistical game. We were interrupted with some yellow flags and some incidents, including people getting a little bit overzealous on their outlaps. We had a BMW upside down at the far side of the circuit for quite a long time. That was under code 60. But a great battle at the front of the field, with sometimes 2, 3 and 4 of the SP9 cars battling together. Mulner and Keir Kramer had a brilliant scrap for the top position in Cup 2 for the Porsche 992 Cup cars that went on right through the race. At one stage, Mulner had 3 cars in the top 6. Didn't quite work out for them because a couple of those cars needed a wee splash towards the end of the race. But nevertheless, the Cup 2 battle was absolutely stunning. Now, we started later yesterday, which meant we went into the evening hours and it was full dark. There's two Cup cars, the Keir Kramer gold and black car and the blue and white from Mulder, just kept at it. But at the front of the field, an extra 2 laps into the final stint meant Tim Heineman took his first ever win on the Nordschleife with his partner Sven Müller. And there was a great scrap for second position, which saw on the run to the line through the last part of the Dottinger Hurt, the second of the Falcon cars, the number 33, go through and make it on the road at least a 1-2 for Falcon and a 1-2-3 for Porsche. However, after the race, some 45 minutes after the race, before the bulletin came out, long after we were having our evening meal and even the ticket team had gone to bed by then, or signed off for the day by then, a yellow flag, overtaking a yellow flag infringement, was spotted and enacted on the second place car. That dropped the second Falcon car down to fifth position, promoted the Grelo number 911 into second, and the two Shearer Sport Phoenix Audis up to third and fourth. So it was Falcon Porsche from Manti 911, from the two Shearer Audis, and then in fifth place, that car that crossed the line in second position. So that's how the points will be reflected. I suspect it won't matter come the end of the season. What we have now is the runoff, and we will give you the drivers as they go off. In the number 72, it's Max Hesse for Shell Helix Ultra in the BMW. and he'll get the green flag in about 8 seconds from now. Behind that is the first of... This is how they qualified earlier on, by the way. So good work from BMW to come back from their problems yesterday. The first BMW outside the top 10 from memory. I think it was 12th. Second going off is the 33. That's Klaus Bachler. Then it will be David Pittard in the Falcon, Falconhurst Aston Martin. Then the 98 is Rafa Marciello for Rover BMW. Behind him is Marcel Markowitz for the number 11 Mercedes. Behind the Mercedes, that looks like the number 27. Yes, it is. So that is big Kelvin von der Linde for the Abt Lamborghini Huracan. The second of the Rover BMWs is Sheldon von der Linde in the number 99. Remember, the 98 was damaged on the right front yesterday. Then that looks like Grello, and that is Thomas Preining, who's going to take the potential of two laps. Behind that, the number 4 is Lucas Stoltz. He'll get the green flag after Preining has gone down the road. Behind Luca in 10th is the number 15, and that is Fred Verwisch, who's going to start when Luca has cleared. Then it's the number 5, the Fat Auto Technic, the Fat Turbo. That is the Herbert car, Dennis Olsen, back in Porsche overalls there. Behind that is the second of the Falcon machines, and so that will be Nico Menzel. Behind Nico is the number 9 of Fabian Schiller. And after that, the 35 has Mike David Ortmann to do his qualifying in the Aston Martin. So Fabian will get going straight of all way. Then it's the 130, which is Mauro Engel. Then it is the Glickenhaus, and it is going to be Frank Mayer in the Glickenhaus with Daniel Karlowitz and Felipe Fernando Leiza just getting in yesterday evening, and they were very late. Behind that is the number 7, the Conrad car of Danny Sufi in that distinctive Lamborghini. The 16 will have Ricardo Fella behind the wheel in that Phoenix share a car. Then it is the number 6 of Aaron Ralph. Behind that, the number 1 took the time this morning getting up to speed. That'll be Daniel Karlowitz. Sorry, I got my drivers mixed up. So Aaron to go. Daniel Karlowitz, I put him in the wrong car, didn't I? He is in the defending champion Ferrari 296, and the only one of those, it's Adam Christodoulou. There'll be no shock to anyone who takes the number 8 gets break car. The 54 behind him will be taken out by Marvin Dienst, and then it's Arjun Maini, and the was there one missing there? Marek Bachmann will take out the 17. The 24, another red and white car, will be driven on its qualifying by... Now, he's not on my list, bizarrely. Oh, there he is, Patrick Niederhauser. Sorry, got there just as the graphics did. The 50 is Arno Klassen. The 71 is the driver known just as Selv. The 36, we're getting towards the end, there are 30 cars, is Henry Valkenhorst in the 36 Aston, and right at the back of the line, the number 60, that's the SPX second car. It is just a Cup 2 car, actually, but it's running on Falcon tyres rather than the Michelins that the Cup cars run on. They're doing tyre development with that car, and it's Yong Kyum Kim who is driving that car. So they are all off and running on their, effectively, their warm-up lap. Good morning to Chris Suku, who's had a full English this morning and had his morning walk, settling in for the qualifying and racing, multitasking in the study. Hello to James this morning. Said, I didn't know Rover ran BMWs in the modern age. They took them over, you know. It was a reverse takeover. Rover there sponsor, the lubricants sponsorship. And that does look like we've got the door shut now in the 60. So, Peter, this is a driver's delight. 25 kilometres or thereabouts with really no traffic to talk about. And all the drivers saying that the track is rubbering in. It's a little bit cooler this morning, but that'll help the engines, if not the varieties of tyres. You would have loved to have done this back in the day, wouldn't you?
The reason I've gone quiet is, John, morning, John, again, sorry, I pressed the wrong button earlier, when you introduced me, thank you. Yeah, because I wish I was there doing this now, and I'm sure you do as well. But, yeah, it is that, that we mentioned yesterday, didn't I, that first lap they get on the start group at the beginning of a race, and they get that sort of lap and a bit where there's free traffic. But this is completely a session to themselves, and it's nothing else to come across. Interesting, we were talking about yesterday, John, about the bits of resurfacing and things changed, and it hadn't made any difference to... lap times. And David Pittard, I know he can't hear me in this because he's out third on track at the moment in the Vulcan Horse Athen, but he very kindly left me a voice note from the paddock last night, and it was about 10 minutes worth as well, which was very, very kind of him. But one of the things he said about the changes to the track and that resurfacing was the foxhole, that it's getting your head around the fact that it's now, as you said, super, super smooth. And he said that there's a memory muscle of the bumps that used to be there, and all the drivers having to get used to the fact there are no bumps. However, at the very top of it, they used to use the flat curb on the left, which they can't now. And that's really whilst it's smooth and there's greater overtaking opportunities, as you said yesterday, quite rightly, they can deviate offline a bit more now because the track's super smooth and brand new. But you can't carry that speed at the top, so that's why it isn't really impacting the times at the moment.
Well, I've only got 28 of the 30 cars I was expecting. I ran through the list. I certainly knew we had one missing. So I'll try and work out which one. Unfortunately, of course, they're not in number order, which would have made things a little bit easier. If you're coming to us for the first time, or you need to be reminded how to reprogram your brain for what you're about to see today, not only here in the qualifying, but also in the four-hour race later on. We have 9 different timing sectors. We used pretty much the whole of the Grand Prix circuit, although not into the AMG arena. It's the quick right-left. 25.378 kilometres around. Well over 100 corners, depending on how you count it. Some people say over 170. I'm not sure that that's quite true. That must be every deviation of the wheel. However, it is the greatest racing circuit in the world. And if you disagree with me on that, quite simply, you're wrong. It is the racetrack that you would race on if it was only one racetrack you could race on forever. Because the perfect lap, I'm not sure, really even exists. And why are we here this weekend? Well, we are building up to the Ravenol ADAC Nürburgring 24 hours. Now, if you think this is a bit bonkers in a good way, and you're right, it is. Reminder that there's a Nürburgring long distance series that runs throughout the year, and quite separate from it, the Nürburgring 24. It is a festival of motor racing and motorsport. If you think of Woodstock and Glastonbury and all of that type of festival atmosphere, that is what the Nürburgring 24 is like, except it's got cars. There's a huge amount of people that come and sit out in the forests, the access to the forests. You might sometimes have to take a bit of a walk somewhere, but the car parks are absolutely packed, and they are left, by the way, immaculately afterwards. Last year, as we pulled away, it was amazing to see, even where people had parked on the side of roads, that everybody had bagged up their litter and put it in or near to the bins. Quite extraordinary. The sort of racing that you see here, the sort of drama that you see here, is absolutely unique. You can't make it more unique than unique. There is no place like it in the world. There is no event like it in the world. Used to be a particularly German event, but in the last decade or so, maybe a little bit further, it's become a true international event. and witness the amount of manufacturers we have here, the drivers, works drivers from all nations, and a full international start grid for this year's event again. We saw history last year with the first win for Ferrari, Fricadelli winning outright with the 296, and they are defending this year. For more details, www.24h.renan.de. There's an English part of that as well. You can get your tickets and start planning your trip from the UK, by the way. Easy to get to from Europe. It's only about 90 clicks from Spa. People forget that. And the roads down that way, if you stay off the highways, are absolutely superb. Did that in my 968. The first year I had my 968, so that would have been 6 years ago, 7 years ago. But from the UK, hop across the channel, and it's a pretty easy drive down. And the last hour or hour and a half is on the country roads, which are superb. They are very similar to what you see on the Nordschleifer. Right, here we go then. The first half a dozen already heading onto the hats and back, which is the first part of the Nordschleifer. Lukas Stoltz just coming down towards the Vidal chicane. He's still on the Grand Prix circuit in the team Bilstein Mercedes number 4. Now commits to the left, the uphill left-hander, and now he's on the Nordschleifer through Sabine Schmidt's curve. Very easy to mess your lap up there, Peter, before you've even got going, because the curve on the left is pretty unforgiving.
It is. It's very, very narrow on the right, and we saw a little bit this yesterday, wasn't it? Wasn't it Gmasiak in the Vulcan Horse?
It was Kuba, yeah.
Yeah, just clipped the barrier there, which is unlike him. But it's we've always said it's that sort of funnel. That tight bit in it kind of sets the tone for what you're about to do for the rest of that lap. So you've really got to have your A game on there. I'm just trying to find the cars that we're missing, John. I think it's 60 and 55. 55 being the Dual Motorsport KTM, and 60 would make it the Hankook.
No, 60's there.
It is 60.
60's definitely there. Yeah, that went out last. I didn't have 55 on my original list, if I'm honest.
Okay, 54, Dynamic Porsche.
Right, yeah, that, Marvin Dienst. Let me have a look. I can't see that one on the timing screen. Well done, Peter.
And I think also 69, the other Dual Motorsport Aston. Didn't that retire from yesterday?
Yes, you're right.
I think it's those two, John.
Was that on that? No, that wasn't on my original list either, though, the 69. Ah. I'll work it out when we get through. The car to keep an eye on at the moment, there are two, and they are both Porsches. The second in the line is Klaus Backler. He's setting best times by some margin, actually. Max Hesse was first out there, but he's already a full second slower than the Falcon car behind. Make that now nearly 3 seconds slower as he goes through timing five. Sector five. So Klaus Backler, and also keep an eye on the times of Dennis Olsen in the number 5 Herbert. That's another red and white car. He was a tiny tick of the clock quicker than Backler in the first and second sectors. That puts him even there. He was even there, so let's see what he comes through the third sector. Marcel Markovic going nicely for the Old Schnitzel All Day restaurant car. That's Schnitzel Alm. No, really, it exists. Sounds like heaven to me. It'll be Schnitzel again today for me. Why not? With a bit of Pilsaus as well. So that number 11 Mercedes going nicely in one of the longer sectors. Sector 5's about a minute and 3/4. Now, Thomas Prining puts in a good lap time or sector time there. But generally speaking, I've got Klaus Backler, I think, just a little bit ahead of everybody else. At the moment, Markovic is round about 3/4 of a second to a second behind. I'm just doing quick base 60 maths as they come through, because we don't get offsets here. We'll only see them when they come to the end of the completed lap. So Max Hesse in the BMW Team RMG, the Shell Helix car, was the first car out. Oh, now he's being caught by Backler coming down to Brunschen. Always a lot of spectators here. Ride the curbs and the block paving on the exit. So now this is a problem for Backler, because he comes up to the ice curve now and he's got the BMW right ahead of him as he crests the rise. Get airborne over the next little jump and then get the car slowed down for the right-hander. And now flat out all through this part of the circuit where Backler and Hesser are now is flat out, and you're just threading the eye of the needle, riding the curbs if you need to. As he come down through Flansgarten, didn't need to use the curb there, but I think Backler will be somewhat frustrated as they come through the Swallow's Tail and into the small carousel. He will get a lovely draft onto the first part of the long Dottinger-Höhe through Gallows Hill corner, and there was a big dab of the brakes by Max Hesse there. Now the long run back to find out what the lap times are. Well, maybe Backler has played a blinder here. He is the quickest car in that long sector, and he will be getting a draft from that BMW here. Will he be able to turn that into a good lap time, and has he got enough left in his tyres to do a second lap? That's the question. Coming up to the Bilstein Bridge, basically you just look through that corner, it's all fingers. He's going to go for it up the hill into the Tiergarten. So he's made up a significant amount of time, some 20 seconds or thereabouts. They start them at 10 second intervals, wasn't it? My apologies. So as they come to the line, it will be Klaus Backler who goes to the top with an 809.219. Wow, that is impressive. 809. Now, does he carry on or is it one and done? My goodness.
I think the question Pittard is, does he need to carry on?
Well, 809.
I mean, he's played that to a blinder, hasn't he? Absolute blind. In the end, what we thought was going to be a hindrance actually worked out to be his favour, didn't it?
Yeah.
Just very quickly, John, it is 54 and 50 that haven't taken part. 50 being the Equipe Vitesse Audi R8, and it is the dynamic Porsche.
Thank you. So, anybody anywhere near that? Nobody within 2 seconds, or 1.5 seconds, and that was Markel Markovic in the Schnitzelam number 11 AMG. Let's have a look further down. And, well, it looks like both Klaus Backler and Max Hesse are going for another lap, because they're splits through the first part of the Grand Prix circuit would suggest they are still on it. I'm waiting to see Dennis Olsen's time come through as well. He should be the next through in the red and white, and he goes to second, and but still a full second away from Klaus Backler. Now, who else might be doing something? The Ferrari. Let's have a look at Karlovic's time as he comes through. He is yet to come through the big long sector. So now, of course, we've got Klaus Backler at the front of the queue as well. So this time, if he is going to improve, he'll have to do it on his own. Coming to the line now is Nico Menzel for Falcon Motorsports, winning car from yesterday. Brilliant strategically yesterday. And he goes up to seventh position with an 8.12.999. I'm super impressed by that time, Peter. An 809.219.
How can you not be? I mean, just to go out and just bang that in on your opening lap first thing on a Sunday morning, it's just it's extraordinary. I mean, they're probably a little bit buoyed up by that 32-second penalty for the yellow flag infringement yesterday. So, as you said, they were second on the road. 1-2 for the team, so maybe they've got a point to make, and Klaus Backler's gone and just made it, hasn't he, in the best way possible.
He's barely 0.2 away from the qualifying record that was set by Raffaele Marciello in last year's Nürburgring 24. That he did an 8.09.058. So 0.2. How much of that then was sitting behind that Falcon Porsche? Yes, he got a good draft down the Donegal Hall, but what did he lose, Peter, in that last, what, it was nearly the last third of a lap, wasn't it, that we certainly saw him behind, because it was before Brunchen that he caught him.
Yeah, it was a long way, wasn't it, because he sat for a long bit, and it's almost as if Hesse sort of raised his game a bit, didn't he, when he pulled out a little bit, sort of two, three, four, maybe four car lengths, but then Backler just was there. But I think, I honestly think, you nailed it spot absolutely there, John, that he got that right coming onto Galvenkopf, onto the Dottinger, and got that drag and just used that to his advantage and pulled it back there. But 8.09.219 is staggering, as you say. How far off the lap record from Marciello?
Under 0.2.
0.2 off the lap record.
0.1½, basically. Well, let's call it 0.2. It's a 0.1½. Frank Meyer, by the way, has gone through in 6th overall. We know that Glickenhaus has got good single lap pace. He qualified 4th yesterday. He's done an 8.12.683. I wanted to see where Olsen got to, and we mentioned him. He got to 2nd. So it's Backler for Falcon Porsche, Olsen for Herbeth Porsche, Markovic for Schnitzelam AMG GT3, Pittard for Aston Martin and Valkenhorst, then von der Linde for Rover Racing BMW, the 99, then Frank Meyer, top of the SPX class, Thomas Priening in 7th for Manti and Grello, Nico Menzel for Falcon in 8th, the 44 car. The Abt Sportsline Huracan is in 9th. 10th is the Pro Sport Aston. Daniel Karlovitz in the Fricatelli Ferrari is in 11th. And they are separated. The top 10 are 3.9 seconds between them. So that'll give you that. Still waiting for the Dongkyung Kim car to come through. That car's time, remember, that is only a cup car, so if that is anywhere near what's gone ahead of it, I'll be very surprised. The Valkenhorst Aston Martin number 26 with Henry Valkenhorst behind the wheel only put in a 44, so he's had a little bit of an incident somewhere, or he was building up very slowly.
Just keep an eye on Pittard and the other Valkenhorst Aston that's currently in 4th on an 8.11.852. He sets quite a quick sectors of 5, 4, 5 and 6 as well.
So 72 now has caught back up to, I reckon, the Klaus Backler car. So now it's the opposite way around. Max Hesse, did he save a little bit of his tyres before, as they come down now to Brunchen? He's caught him in almost exactly the same place, about 4 or 5 corners before Brunchen. And now they head up the hill towards the ice curve, so-called, because when it's frosty, it stays frosty there because of the shadow from the trees. The sun doesn't get to it. Right, now heading through across the jump, and then gather the car back up again as much as you can. All 4 Falcon tyres off the ground for Klaus Backler. The Porsche moving around an awful lot as they come through this absolutely flat-out run down through to the bottom of the hill. It's a great... Flansgarden is absolutely great. That's the easy flat bit. The bit before it is not. You've got to keep telling yourself that it's flat in those corners. After that little jump and to the right-hand side, then basically you are just letting the car flow. And what you don't often see from our TV coverage, it's very difficult to see it, is that there is a crown on the road. And crossing backwards and forwards in that section, just as you're coming into Flansgarden, you go backwards and forwards across the crown of the road. So the line is not the obvious line there. And looks like Thomas Priening is putting a decent lap together from his lap times. Is it going to be quick enough though? He needs to find 3.5 seconds. Coming to the checkered flag then. And Max Hesse wasn't able to drag by the Fulton Motorsports 33 Porsche. Coming to the line now, 8.09.219 was the best time for Backler. No, 8.12. But an 8.10. Max Hesse did an
8.12.6.
He did improve it. Yes, so he did improve. Hesse improved his time. He's in sixth at the moment. So still at the moment, a full second. Coming to the line then. Keep an eye on these other cars. There's Rafa Marciello coming through. His lap record threatened but not broken. 8.12.6 for Marciello. Seventh position at the moment. Displacing. So Hesse actually did move up. Oh, von der Linde goes up to fourth in the Lamborghini, the AB Sportline car, with an 8.11.682. Here comes Grello. Watch out for the stopwatch on the number 9.11. Does it improve? It does. Goes to fourth position, but still 2 seconds away. Olsen still to complete this lap. He should be next through. But I think he's lifted off. Because wasn't he in front of that car before? There is... Who's that just come through? Vavish in the Audi goes through. Olsen, oh, so close. 109.5. He's got it down to 0.4 seconds. But it is still, at the moment, Backler. Nico Menzel putting a good second half of the lap together. Very good. Has the fastest of anybody in that long seventh sector. 2.25.3 for Nico. Currently sitting down in 12th position, needs to find nearly 4 seconds to take pole, but a second or two will really push him up the times as he comes across the line now. And he goes to third. So found 3 seconds there, 8.10.6, 2.5 seconds anyway. Still some cars out on the Nordschleife, including Ricardo Fella in the Share of Sport PHX machine promoted yesterday. Remember, those two cars ended up as third and fourth after the yellow flag infringement by the second of the Fulton cars. So Fella with a now decent run in the middle of the lap. He's well off. He's 5 seconds off on his first lap. Again, another second or two. That'll punch him right up into the top 10. As he comes through Tiergarten now, riding the curbs. That's fine. They're pretty flat there. And here's the run to the line. And Fella comes through and goes to fifth with an 8.11.361, and he had an absolute best sector in sector 5.
Yeah, because he was landing in 20th, wasn't he? Which is not like him at all.
Well, it suggests to me, Peter, he might have taken it quote-unquote slightly more easily on the opening lap.
For the sake
you can't
of the
say that at Klaus Backler.
No, for the sake of the quality, don't forget all these cars have to do this top qualifying with full fuel tanks as well.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So there is all of the cars that are coming round are coming round back into the pit lane. They'll take the cutout. They don't have to do another lap of the Nordschleife. So as it stands at the moment, Fulton Porsche, Herbert Porsche, Fricadelli Ferrari, Fulton Porsche, Schnitzelam Mercedes, Scherer Audi, Mantai Porsche, Thomas Preining got the 911, Grello up into the top 10 in 7th. Then the Abt Lamborghini, the second of the Scherer Sport Phoenix Audis in 9th, and Aston Martin in 10th. BMWs 11th, 12th, and 13th. for the two Rover racing cars with the BMW team RMG car in the middle of them. Then it's Mercedes team get speed, 1:30, tomorrow Engel's time. Glickenhaus, having been in the top 10 early on that first lap, they were in sixth, weren't they? Frank Meyer will be no better than 15th. Lion Speed GP in 16th with Patrick Niederhauser doing the qualifying. They'll be very happy with that. They qualify in normal qualifying yesterday. They were down 26th, 27th, I think. So they've found some setup and pace. Then it's the Aston Martin 17 of Pro Sport Racing. Then three Mercedes AMGs, the two Team Bilstein cars, four from three. Then the Advan HRT car. Valkenhorst Aston, number 35. Konrad Urakan, number 7 in 22nd. Adam Christodoulou, only down in 23rd, with his teammate Fabian Schiller alongside him. 8 and 9, the two Mercedes get speed cars in 23rd and 24th. Equipe Vitesse, as Peter said. Now that's interesting. So that I've now got a time for that of 8:22. So they did go out in their Audi. Jutta Racing come out next in 26th. 27th was the Hankook Shod Cup car running in SPX. And 28th was the Valkenhorst Motorsport Aston Martin Vantage AMR.
Yeah, I misled you there. Sorry, John. It was 54 and 55 that didn't go out. Dynamic and Dual 55. Motorsport. So the Porsche and the Crossbow, not the Vitesse car. My apologies.
Yeah, the Crossbow definitely wasn't on the list, though. No. It shouldn't have gone out. So
okay.
So not sure where that happened. I shall check with the Oracle, which is the ticker, which they do a
that's
great
where I thought
job.
I was getting it from, but we'll cross-reference, shall we?
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Great to see the Ferrari up there, just splitting a couple of the Porsches.
Indeed. So that is the top 28. The rest of the grid was set in the morning practice session. There are acres of resources on the ADAC24H website. You can download all of the regulations. You can have them on a screen, flick through, and you'll also be able to see, as soon as these times are ratified, you'll be able to see the grid on there as well, should you require. But on what has already been a good weekend for Falcon, they continue their pace. First and fourth, inside of row one, outside of row two, and between them, the Porsche of Herbert Motorsport will start on the outside of row one for the 5 red, white and black car, and the Fricadelli Ferrari right up there as well, as it is winding up to defend its race win from last year. I reckon everybody's back and through, so there will be no more changes other than if there are any technical infringements. The scrutineering bays are just behind garages 1 and 2, and the cars will be pushed through into that. So that now, as we hear from, that's Daniel Kailwitz, isn't it? With
Kubica-Maziak, I think that is.
It's Kuba, is it?
Is it? No, you're right. No. Daniel, yes, you're absolutely right. No, wrong angle.
So that car will start out inside of row two. And that will be a source of some joy for Klaus Abelin. But they did their job yesterday. And hello to Arnage Rob. Loved the coverage yesterday. Looking forward to today's qualifiers as well. And a reminder then that we will be back around about 10 minutes before the start of the warm-up lap. So that's into the early part of the afternoon as far as Central European summertime is concerned, and that will be at 11:35 in the UK, 12:35 Central European Summer Time. We'll have a quick reflection on what's going on. We'll confirm those grid spots, and then we are into the four-hour race, which begins 1 o'clock German time. And if you're wondering why it takes that long, they do have the formation lap to do, which takes a little over 10 minutes, of course. That's not at racing speed for the guys at the front. So a confirmation of the top qualifying shootouts. Porsche, Ferrari, Porsche, Mercedes, Audi, Porsche, Lamborghini, Audi, Aston Martin in your top 10. 2.6 seconds separating those. Then three BMWs. Mercedes, Glickenhaus, top of the shop for SPX, of course. Good run for the number 24 Lion Speed. Patrick Niederhauser qualified that car in 16th position. What happened to the Bilstein cars? Lucas Stoltz and Arjun Maini only down in 17th and 18th. And looking further down, the team GetSpeed card, Adam Christodoulou, Fabian Schiller, they're keeping their powder dry, but they were only down in 23rd and 24th position. So something not quite right as far as those Mercedes were concerned. Did they get the setup wrong this morning? Maybe the tyre pressures. It is a little cooler, 3 to 4 degrees Celsius cooler than it was at race time yesterday. It was 19 in the air. So very interesting. As I say, that has set the top 29. The dynamic car, as Peter said, didn't go out. The dynamic GT Porsche, the number 54. So that will start in 29th position. And everybody beyond that, they set their times in the standard session this morning, which was a rather inhospitable 7:15 for the teams and drivers, and particularly for one or two of the teams, notably the Rover Racing team, who had been up all night. I would have thought that came around rather too early for them. And in fact, actually, the two Glickenhaus drivers who flew in last night were saying that they actually missed their alarm call this morning. BMW qualifying quickest this morning in the standard qualifying session. Max Heser finished up in 12th position with a time that was quicker than what he did this morning by a good couple of seconds in that single car or the shootout. Just got caught by Backler on the first lap and gave him a tour down the Dottinger Hill. Could not do that on the second lap. Did improve his time, but not enough. Backler with that first lap, an 8:09.219. That is a couple of ticks of the clock, literally, away from a lap record. Rafa Marciello, 8:09.058 in last year's Friday second top qualifying shootout. And at that point, Mauro Engel was second by 0.4 seconds, but this time it's Dennis Olsen by almost the same margin. And interestingly, looking back at the report, thanks to Sportscar 365, both of those fast times in the race, qualifying for the top qualifying for the race last year, were done on the first laps. So that's interesting. Nobody got under 8:10 on their second laps. Well, Dennis Olsen did this time around. So, there we are. The question of how fast can we go is answered in the affirmative by Klaus Backler, at least, as in, yes, very fast indeed. That is an exceptionally quick time. Anything under 8 minutes and 10 around the full circuit, the 24H circuit, is impressive. And we had two cars underneath that. What it means for the main race, well, probably not that much, other than I hope it stays dry and warm for the shootout, because I've got a feeling we'll be bothering Rafa Marciello's qualifying record. Come back and join us later on. Peter Snowden and me will be back for the build-up and the whole race. Bye for now.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.